Amen. You believe that this morning? Hallelujah. I'm free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Amen, amen. Independence Day. We just had that day come and go yesterday, and I was reminded on Friday, Brother Eli reminded me, he says, "Isn't this your birthday?" And I thought, "No, my birthday's in January." And he says, "Well, didn't you have a birthday in July?" And, yeah. What day was it? The third? What's today? The third? Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the birthday I want to celebrate. Amen. 31 years and counting. Hallelujah. I was there. I didn't have to have somebody tell me about it. I was there. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Just a couple of quick things here this morning. So our sister Karen Pruitt is recovering. She's still in intensive care, but she's getting stronger, and it's supernatural. She had several brain bleeds to the point that it pushed on her right lobe of her brain and shoved it into a place where it's not supposed to be. And Sister Baker, all the other healthcare workers here know just how you don't recover from those things and you're fully functional, but she's recovering and she's fully functional. She's moving everything, communicating. So we just thank the Lord for that. We want to just continue to remember her as the Lord brings a complete recovery in her life. Also, our sister Prithi Jett from London had sent me a message here about the middle of the week this week, and she'd had about a month-long ordeal with COVID, and the Lord supernaturally intervened. She was in the hospital and just going down, thought she was going to die, and had a couple of days where she wasn't sure if she left her body or not. She didn't even really know how to explain it. Now, friends, if a healthcare worker, if a doctor is struggling to explain some of the things that are taking place with this, I mean, we're still learning from, how to combat this and all the different effects that it has. So if a doctor is struggling to, come up with a full description, then, I just have to keep reminding you, because there's a devil out there that's telling you that this isn't real. Yeah, that's why the graveyards are filling up and the hospitals are filling up, because it's not real. It's real.
Sure.
We don't fear it, but you ought to respect it. I respect rattlesnakes. I don't fear them. I respect them. And since I respect them, I don't play with them. And I don't need to prove to you whether I'm afraid of them or not. Amen? I believe if I was in the line of duty and I got bit by one, I'd shake it off, but I'd have some fang marks to show you where I got bit. I don't want to get bit, so I'm just not going to go where they're at, by God's grace. Pastor Tim Hayton is recovering. He had a pretty bad bout. He and his wife also was sick with it, with COVID. And Brother Tim, just appreciate his spirit, because he said that they really weren't taking this real serious. And but since he's been through it personally, he's got the revelation. So it takes a real man to admit that, we need to kind of change directions and do some things. Now, I've been telling you all along, this is not about anybody else, but I've given you the same message all along. This is real, and there's things that you need to do to protect one another. And if we do these things, it's very low a probability that you're gonna contract it yourself. But we have to be diligent. Our pastor Lupe Lopez we prayed for him as a body. We want to just continue to keep him in prayer, because he's real weak, and we know that in a lot of cases when they get the pneumonia in the chest, that it actually does physical damage. That, you know, once your lungs are cleared out, your lungs are damaged, and so you can't get the air that you need. He's still on oxygen, and but we serve a miracle working God. Amen. So he's a real soldier of the cross, a real veteran, and we just want to, it wouldn't matter whether he was or he wasn't, but he just happens to be. So we want to keep him before the throne. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So good to be back here with you again this morning. Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 6. So our subject once again is the overcoming word. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men, that's 60 men, are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold tape players. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of the fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, as we bow our hearts before you, Lord, we just want to tell you how much we love you, and how thankful we are, Lord, for your healing touch, Lord, for your guidance, for your comfort, for your strength, Lord, for your angels encamping about us. And Lord, we're doing what we know to do, the wisdom that you've given us. We want to take advantage of it. But Lord, we're trusting in you above all things. And Lord, if we were to come in contact with this, if we were to get the symptoms of this, you are our healer. And we believe that, Lord, from the bottoms of our hearts. And so, Lord, we rest in your hands this morning. We're not fearful. We're not. We know that the world is in a fearsome condition, that the world is in a confusing time, and everybody's an expert, everybody's got a voice, and everybody's speaking out. But, Lord, there's a still small voice that we've been listening to all along, and we want to continue to listen, Lord, as you lead and as you guide. For, Lord, you're the only one that knows the way through the wilderness. And so, Lord, we want to follow you each and every step of the way. We want to be spirit-led, each one of us, Lord. We want to put down our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own imaginations. And we certainly don't want to carry fears and doubts and those types of things that the enemy would like to put upon us, Lord. But we want to rest in you. So, Lord, we ask that your blessings be upon each and every one. Be with those that are listening in at home, Lord. Those that are diligently, Lord, that have perhaps been exposed to something, not sure, but they're doing the right thing by quarantining. We thank you for that, Lord. And we just ask for their soon return. And Lord, for the health of each and every one. We just love you and we thank you now, Father, and the names that were brought before you this morning, Lord, we just want to remind you once again, not because you've forgotten and not because we're begging you, Lord, but because as the prayers have went forth already, Lord, you've instructed us to do this. And so, Lord, we remind you of each and every need, and we commit them into your hands in the lovely, precious name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So last week, we looked at one aspect of this story, and it's we looked at it as a bride that's being taken to meet her bridegroom, which in this case was King Solomon. And we know that the Word of God can have multiple meanings. Most of the stories that we read, they're parables. They're prophetic. And many times there's prophecy that's being lived out in people's lives, and they're not even aware that prophecy is being lived out. So we know that the Word of God can have multiple meanings from the very same scriptures. And we might not get some of those meanings until due season. And so this morning we want to look at this from just a little different direction than we did last Sunday. In the message, sirs, we would see Jesus. Brother Branham says, all scriptures has a compound, prophecies especially, has a compound meaning or a compound answer. As an example, we'll look at one example here in the scriptures from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Then again in Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So we know that the children of Israel, they had already come out of Egypt at the time that Hosea had spoke this prophecy. And it doesn't matter whether something's already taken place and then the prophecy goes forth, or whether the prophecy goes forth and it's thousands of years later. God had this thought before the foundation of the world. And then Hosea spoke this prophecy as the Lord put it upon his lips and upon his heart. So out of Egypt, God called Jacob. And out of Egypt, God called Jesus. So we see that there's a multitude, there's a multiple interpretation to the very same prophecy. Again, he says, and how many knows the scripture has a compound meaning to every prophecy? Isn't that something? To every prophecy. Sure does. Yes, sir. It'll say it and mean it just exactly to this time, and then turn right around and repeat it again back over here somewhere. Sure. Isn't that something? Yeah. So it can say the same thing at different times with different characters, but it's fulfilling the word of God. Again, from Dr. Moses, he says, all scripture has a compound meaning, or it runs in cycles. For instance, there where it said in St. Matthew, I believe it was, out of Egypt I have called my son. He says, now, that scripture that Matthew was referring to was really pertaining to Israel. And God said, out of Egypt I called my son Israel. He called Israel his son out, but it also meant Jesus. Out of Egypt I've called my son. See how it routines back, he says. So last time we saw that the bride was being transported on this couch or bed, if you will, to meet with Solomon. She was being carried and she was being escorted by these great men, these valiant men, these handpicked men by Solomon to bring her safely to him. And she's going to be married to King Solomon. She's being carried from her home to meet the king in Jerusalem, or to meet the king, and then they will come together in Jerusalem. So he leaves his palace to meet her on the way. He doesn't go directly to her home. There's a big class distinction between them, and so the king's not going to go directly to her home as perhaps people would in that particular time. And also because there's prophecy being written here, he doesn't go to her home, but they both meet in a place where neither one of them live. Hint, hint, wink, wink. The Lord won't meet us here on the earth, and we won't meet him in heaven, but we will meet him in the air. We will meet him between our home and his home to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb. So we know that the bride of Christ, she's already married to him. And before she ever meets him in the air, there's an invisible union that has taken place. The rapture is not the wedding. We understand that. We know that. But it is the time when the bride body of Jesus Christ is gathered together once again. We were gathered once together in his thinking before the foundation of the world, but we will physically be gathered together as one body to meet him in the air and then to go with him to the wedding supper of the Lamb. So in our story here this morning, we see that the bride is being carried on this couch or bed, as the scripture calls it, and it's made out of the cedar of Lebanon. And we looked at it, we saw how the cedar with the white and the red, it speaks of the cross, it speaks of redemption, it speaks of righteousness that was achieved at the cross through the sprinkling of the blood or the shedding of the blood. And we also noticed that there were four columns that were on this, and we know that four is the number of deliverance. deliverance, and also silver is a type of redemption. The floor is of solid gold. My, I wonder how many were, there were 60 men. I wonder how many were actually having to carry this thing. You know, it wasn't just her needing to go on a diet, but there was all this gold that was, and silver. So the floor is of gold, and which speaks of deity, of course. And then there are different colored carpets, as we looked at, that are covering the floor of the of this thing that's being carried, this chariot that's being carried, and of course the various carpets speak of love stories. And then the covering over the top and the veil, it's of purple, which is very rare. It's very expensive. There are very few that would, only royalty would have something like this. And it's the exact same covering that's covering the tabernacle in the wilderness. And around this this bed that's being carried are 60 mighty men. They are chosen of Solomon. They are handpicked of Solomon. Each one of them is a personal friend of Solomon. He trusts each and every one. They're like the Secret Service. He trusts them with his very life. And so the natural type is that these men are carrying this bride to Solomon as part of the wedding ceremony. But the spiritual type of this is what's taking place right now. And it's the bride who's already been united. It's the heavenly bridegroom uniting with the earthly bride. There's an invisible union that is already taking place with the bridegroom. But we haven't seen him yet in a physical body, but we will. And you know, friends, if you think about it, it's really the tender hand of Jehovah. It's really the love of God that we don't see him in a physical body first, because we're yet naked. We aren't clothed with the same kind of a body that he has. And he loves you so much and respects you so much that he doesn't want to embarrass you. There's certainly other reasons, but think about it. He doesn't want to embarrass you that he's fully clothed and fully dressed, and you're not, the bride isn't ready to meet him, if you will. But we will meet him one day, and we will have bodies like him, and we will know him as we are known. Somebody say praise the Lord. So Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. So first of all, there's a valiant group in Israel. And so these are valiant, chosen from the valiant. So these are the chosen of the chosen. These are handpicked, special service, if you will. And first, as we saw last time, first they say, who is this? As they see this procession coming, they don't yet see the bed. They don't yet see the cedars of Lebanon. They don't yet see who's behind the veil that's coming along. They can see enough through the veil to see that somebody's on a couch, that they're reclining, and they can see all these, no doubt they recognize some of these valiant and mighty men, and there's a certain look in their eye as they're coming by, and they're just looking each and every direction, and their eyes are not missing much. And you know, I had that experience myself when Sister Baker and I went to Rome, and we were at the Vatican on a Sunday morning, and the Pope was going to step out and on the balcony and give an address, which he did. He spoke in 4 or 5 different languages, I think, and did a 15-minute, I can't even do a 15-minute address or sermon, if you will, 4 or 5 different, so he was his own interpreter. And there's some skill that's associated with that, and him being an older fella. But I remember we ran into some of the Swiss guards that were handpicked that are there to watch out and to protect the Pope. And I'll never forget. I mean, how could you? I'll never forget watching their eyes rove over the crowds and seeing one of them actually stop and look at me. The eyes just, they're piercing. You don't know how to describe it, but you know that somebody's looking right at you and perhaps looking through you, and it's an uncomfortable feeling. So they're certainly trained because they know what to look for, they know what to watch for, and so they're not looking and thinking, well, he's a nice fella, or I like his tie, or well, I like his hairdo, or is that an American or whatever. But they're looking for certain things, and they're looking very closely. And if you're displaying one of those attributes, they're going to be all over you. So this is how these 70 valiant men were. They were watchful. They weren't there to make friends. They weren't there to be popular. They were there to protect the queen and to make sure the queen made it to the king. So first they said, who is this? As she was yet at a distance, because they hadn't seen the royal seal yet. But then as this entourage gets closer and closer, they see this seal and they recognize it's the seal of Solomon. And this thing Solomon built himself. He didn't just have craftsmen do it. If he'd have done that, it would have been just fine. And I'm sure it would have been wonderful or beautiful. But he prepared this place for her especially, this place of rest for her especially. And so they recognize that seal and they say, behold his bed. So now the attention is on the bed and they're recognizing that's his bed. And so then the next step is quite obvious. The next thing is to recognize, well, if that's his bed and that's his seal, then the one that's on that bed, we don't recognize her, but she must be his bride. So she's resting on this royal bed, if you will, which is a type of you and I resting on the finished work of Calvary, resting on the complete and full work of redemption that our Lord Jesus Christ has promised us and is performing on our behalf. We have entered into our rest, and our rest is what we're in right now. He's prepared this thing special for us, and we're resting. We're not sitting upright. We're not uptight. We're not holding on for dear life, but we're reclining. There's a different position, and that position implies rest. So she's on this journey, and friends, the bed that she's on, the journey that she's on, there's not a thing that she did to make this happen. This is the grace of God in her life. It's the grace of Solomon in this particular story, and it's not by her own works, but it's by what he's doing. And she's not sitting upright, as we said, but she's reclining on this bed, and she's relaxed, and she's completely depending on her bridegroom, and she's trusting that the ones that he provided to watch over her are doing just that. That she can fully trust that she doesn't have to do anything herself to defend herself, that they are there for her protection, and they are there, they know the way. they're not just going to take her anywhere. They're not going to be caught up by a bunch of marauders and her end up in some other land as a slave, but they're going to take her to the king. So she's not sitting upright, but she's reclined, and the position that she's in shows us that she's relaxed. She's totally dependent upon her king to provide for her. And we see the same type of story in the book of Ruth when Ruth is being told, Ruth, you need to rest. You need to sit still, for Boaz will not rest until he does this very thing that he promised, until redemption is complete. So it's time for you to rest while he does the work of the kinsman redeemer. And this is what the Lord wants for you and I this morning, friends. Oh, what a shame it is, and how horrible it is. That Christianity, that true Christianity doesn't exist everywhere, that the true church is not just any Christian church, it's not just any, but friends, that we've been robbed in many places of this rest. In a lot of places, you got to do this. In other places, you got to believe this. In other places, this guy's got to be your leader. In other places, you got to recite this creed or what have you. Instead of there being a rest for each and every one of us, he has provided a place for you along the way, a place of rest for your soul. Physically, we're still laboring. Physically, we're still working. But in our soul, we can say, it is well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this is what the Lord wants for you and I. He doesn't want us to struggle, but he wants us to rest. No, she's not sitting up there barking out orders. She's resting. And there are 60 valiant men about this bed and about this bride. The word valiant in the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word is gabor. And it means strong, mighty, strong man, brave man, mighty man. So gabor is, it's saying, you know, this is the characteristics here. It's not he combed his hair just right, or he's a certain height, or he speaks a certain language, or his IQ is such and such, or he can quote the scripture this way or that way, or he's got a piece of Brother Branham's pants. None of that. The characteristic that's being pointed out that's so important here is that they are strong, valiant, mighty men, brave men. Somebody say praise the Lord. So we don't know what color their hair was, or the scripture doesn't bother us with what kind of uniforms they wore, you know, if it was like the Swiss Guards or whatever, or how smart they were or how dumb they were, but that they were valiant, each and every one. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. For my Lord, your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. A great Lord, a great God, and mighty. It's this word gabor again. Mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. So the Lord himself is mighty. The Lord himself is valiant. The Lord himself is brave. The Lord himself is strong. Again, in Joshua chapter 8, verse 3. So Joshua arose, and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Strong, gabor, brave, powerful, mighty. Again in Judges chapter 6 verse 12. Very familiar scripture. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of gabor, thou mighty man of valor, thou brave man. Here he is hiding behind the wine press. Thou brave man, thou strong man, thou mighty man, thou courageous. So God saw something about Gideon that was still yet a mystery to Gideon. It had not been revealed to Gideon, but yet it was laying there waiting to be manifested in his life. And of course, the manifestation of it would be in his future. We wouldn't see it in that particular instance when the Lord is declaring this. But it would be expressed, and the Lord saw it. Friends, just like you and I. I mean, I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of the dark for years and years and years and years. And I couldn't, psychology, none of that worked. I had a fear. When the lights were out, I sensed things, I picked up things, and I was fearful of it. And yet there was something laying in me that I didn't know about. Just as there's something laying in you that you didn't know about. I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. Hallelujah. So in Ruth chapter 2 verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. This is speaking of Boaz. A mighty man, a gabor man of wealth, of family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. Once again, Boaz is a type of Christ. Boaz is also valiant, though, you know, at this particular time, he's 80 years old. And Ruth is a young woman. And so Ruth here is a young woman that's going to marry a near kinsman that is a type of the Ancient of Days. Again, from 1 Samuel 16, verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have sent a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. So he can play instruments and he's very skillful at it. And a mighty, valiant man, a gabor man, a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person. Wow, he's got everything going for him. He can play music. He's a mighty man of valor. He's prudent. He's got wisdom. And he's kind of good looking. A comely person, and the Lord is with him. How'd you like the Lord to say that about you? What wonderful qualities. And we find that God always uses men of this type all the way through the scriptures. He has a pattern and he stays with that pattern. And I'm glad that he does things this way. So there were 60 men that were around this bride. There were 15 on each side. And they were mighty men. They were valiant men. They were trustworthy men. And friends, we know that in the wilderness, on the wilderness journey, which this is a type of the wilderness journey coming out of the wilderness, there were 600,000 men that were gathered around the tabernacle of the Lord. So there was 150,000 on each side of the tabernacle of the Lord to protect that tabernacle. You had to go through them if you wanted to invade that tabernacle in the wilderness. So 60 men on four sides guarding, they were guarding the temple of Solomon. Oh, I hope somebody catches it this morning. She is the temple of Solomon. She is his place of rest. She is resting and she is his place of rest. And so this is where Solomon will find his rest on the earth, is in her. This is where Christ will find his rest on the earth, is in his bride body. He is, friends, and he's not going to be stewing and and frustrated, and then you be calm, and you're not going to be frustrated while he's calm. But it's a place of rest. It's a place of communion. It's a place of peace. It's a place where he's supping with you and you with him, and he's whispering his love secrets and love stories. And he's comforting and encouraging. Somebody say praise the Lord. It is in your soul. Your mind is not always in that condition, but in the soul is where it's at. And then it's the job of the soul to bring the mind into that same kind of an atmosphere. So it's the bride that Solomon will... it's in this particular woman. Now, friends, he's had many, many brides, but this one's special. This one's bringing out attributes of Solomon that we've never seen before, that only she could bring out. The church couldn't bring these things out of Christ, but the bride brings certain attributes, brings a mysterious part of him out that we hadn't seen before. And so he sends these men to guard this earthly body, this earthly tabernacle, if you will. 2 Samuel 23:15. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me the drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Now, this wasn't some idle desire. This was a painful desire. This was something that that he desired deeply. Again, from verse 16. And the three mighty men, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord as an offering. Verse 17, and he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three Gabor men, these three mighty men. Brother Bram says in Why Little Bethlehem, he says, David here is a type of Christ. Bethlehem, because Christ is David's son. Here he's standing there crying for a drink of that water. And his desire was a command. I said to those who loved him, three of those men pulled their swords and fought 15 miles of men down to that city, while others fought keeping, he says, them were gallant fighting men. Excuse me. Those Philistines, the Philistines, twice their size. Friends, it don't matter. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. twice their size, some of them, but they were men, gallant men, listen to this, who could fight. This wasn't their first battle. They were proven in battle. They were warriors. They were fighters. Oh, Christians don't battle. Christians battle. They sure do. Who could fight? One of them slew, stood alone-handed, and killed 800 men right around him in one day. 800 men in one day. They were great men. They trusted God. They had faith in their leader. Amen. What a concept. And they cut his way down through until while some of them cut and the other one got a bucket of water and they cut their way back through another 15 miles of men and brought that up to David so that he could drink it. Now, friends, this was just a desire that he had. He didn't command them to go. He didn't tell them to go, but they were listening. They were tuned in, and they would do anything for this man. So David got to thinking about the well, no doubt. And he was probably getting a little melancholic at Bethlehem, a place that he was very familiar with, and a lot of childhood memories and some adult memories, of course, and something about that well water, that the water that came up from there that was different than any other place. And he could get a drink at any time, but he wanted this specific water. He was thirsting for this very specific water that he had drank from on many, many occasions. So this wasn't just any well. You couldn't get this water just anywhere. Come on, friends. You couldn't get it at Fry's. You couldn't get it at Safeway. You couldn't get it. This was a special water from a special source. So it wasn't just any water that he was thirsting for as he's thinking about this specific well. And he was reflecting on that water, just how good it tasted and how refreshing it was, and how it was a great source of comfort to him. And he said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem." He was very specific about it. "That one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem." And these three mighty men, they look at one another and they say, "Did you hear what our king just said?" Yeah, I believe I did. What did you hear him say? Well, what I heard him say is he'd like to have a fresh drink of Pentecost. He doesn't want something stale, something old, something moldy, something from a cistern, something from days gone by, but he wants that original. He wants a drink of that fresh, cool Pentecostal water. He said he'd like to have some people that aren't afraid of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said he'd like to have a people that are not afraid to worship him, that are not afraid to make him welcome, that are not afraid to get outside of themselves and press beyond all the nervousness and all the thoughts and cares and what everybody else might think and what everybody else might do or what they might think themselves. People that don't consider how they feel. They may feel lousy, but they don't consider it. They'll come to church anyway. They'll come to church to bring him a drink of that Pentecostal water. People that will make every effort, friends, whether danger is involved or not, to give him a fresh drink. People who aren't afraid to squall. People who aren't afraid to bawl. People who aren't afraid to mess up their hair. People who don't care what other people might think about them. People that aren't worried about their position, looking like some royal something or other, but people that will worship from the bottom of their heart and worship out of the living realities of the living God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, who will bring him a drink this morning, friends? I believe he desires a fresh drink this morning. Hallelujah. So imagine these fighting men, friends. These are valiant men. These are not novices. These are not trainees. These are valiant men. They're trained in the matters of war. And they're fighting their way through unbelief. They're fighting. I was thinking about that this morning as I was coming in the door, you know. Hit Brother Joe with this elbow, hit Brother Alvo with that elbow. And, you know, we're elbowing our way through. In this case, it's not a bad thing. You know, if somebody elbows their way through a crowd, you think, wow, that person's pretty rough. Well, no, that person doesn't care whether it felt good to you or not. That person wants you out of their way. And that person is going to do whatever they can to get wherever it is that they're trying to go. And they'll use those elbows to elbow their way through. Sometimes we got to do that in the church service. Sometimes somebody's got an attitude. Sometimes one musician's got an attitude against another musician. And they come and they bring those things with them. Come on, friends. The whole purpose of this is for one thing. Is to create an atmosphere for the word to come forth. So all of this is no different than the guy that stands behind the pulpit, because you have to learn how to get out of the way. You have to learn that it's not important whether you're getting your way or not. That it's not important whether it's skillful or not. I don't care if it's skillful. I don't care. There was a time, friends, and sometimes I think we'll just go back to it. Sometimes I'm just tempted to say we'll just go back to the guitar and the flute because we didn't care. And we created an atmosphere every time. We didn't care how it sounded. Amen. With anything, you have to learn to work together, and it takes time. There's an investment and all that. But first and foremost is that we got to remember what our purpose is. Now, friends, I'm not just going to stop there. I'm going to start here. You aren't spectators this morning. Sometimes people come with such a critical spirit on them. They're just sure they're going to find a fault. And they do every single time. And they come, they just got an attitude, and they're just, bless God, I'm not going to pull, and I'm not going to say amen to anything that guy says, and I'm not going to this, and I'm not going to get anything out of the service. That's exactly right. Amen. And Jesus is not going to be worshipped by you. He's not going to get a fresh drink from you. Friends, our desire, our whole focus, it's not about me. It's not about you. There was a masterpiece that was preached on Wednesday. Some of you that were sitting here in the service, I listened, I streamed. And I know by how you reacted afterwards, some of you need to go back and listen to that. We are a family. We are a body. It isn't about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. And we're all coming together for one purpose. We want to create that atmosphere so that His word can come forth. Hallelujah. Now, friends, of course, we have to learn. Of course, we have to go through different things. But what we need to do is when we run into opposition. Oh, this is a perfect type this morning. They faced every kind of opposition on the way to that well. 15 miles of it. There and back. So it wasn't just getting it, but now they had to hold on to it. Oh, how many knows that's true? How many knows that you go and you get a hold of some old-time Pentecostal? Yeah, the power of God comes. The Spirit of God is amongst you, and you've got a plow to hold on to that. You've got to. Sometimes it's a battle just to take it from this building because there's all these other things that are trying to keep you from that. Trying to get you to look at somebody's hairdo, trying to remind you of what so-and-so did, or what did so-and-so mean by this or that, right? And we got to battle through all those things. We got to plow through all of those things. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So these men are fighting their way through whatever comes their way. Friends, when I get up here, I'm not going to stop preaching because you're pulling against me. Right. And I'm not going to blame you for whether I preach or not. I have a job to do. Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pull harder than you are. So if you're pulling this way, I'm going to pull twice as hard that way. And you might leave here with a crick in your neck. Right? But I have to fight. I have to battle. I have to create an atmosphere. I have to say, you know what? I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I can't say, well, you know, there was just a heaviness like there was Wednesday night. I'm streaming and I can feel it. That's amazing how you can feel that all the way through. It was quiet. I think my wife was the amen section. She wasn't there even. You you've got friends, you can't come in and say, well, you know, it's kind of quiet and what was going on and this, that, and the other. Who cares what's going on? Right. Well, this one seems to, and that one seems to, who cares? Right. You need to pull that sword out and go to battle. Right. You need to make up your mind. You know what? I came to church right. not to waste gas. Right. And excuse me, I didn't come to see you. Right. I didn't come to fellowship with you. Right. I didn't come to make you feel good. I came to get a drink for my King. I came to worship Him. Now, friends, if we all come with that same attitude, you're going to have a good time. You're going to leave with victory. But every one of us has to fight. There's no spectators in this. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know the devil don't like this, but... it's right here in this story, which we're going to see. Hallelujah. Faces too far away. Come on, you know who I am. Faces too far away, really? Fighting their way through whatever. Friends, you say, well, you know, you're hurting my feelings right now. I'm not here to protect your feelings. Sometimes your feelings get in the way. So these men, they weren't worried about their reputations. They weren't worried about their personal lives. They weren't worried about whether they felt like, you know, maybe one of them had a strained calf muscle. Maybe one of them had a sprained eyelash. Who cares? Who knows? But they weren't considering themselves. You understand? They weren't saying, well, you know what? This might be my last battle. Is it worth it? All they knew was, this is what our Lord wants. And His wish is our command. Somebody say, praise the Lord. They weren't waiting for special meetings. Some of us do that. Some of us are annual meeting type people. And we will only get in the spirit once a year. We'll only pay a price once a year. We'll quit tattling once a year. We'll quit moaning and groaning once a year. We'll get a prayer life once a year. Hey friends, if that's you, you need to hear that this morning. Because we don't need to rent a revival. We don't need to pay somebody to come and pay a price for us. We got to pay the price ourselves. You get out of it what you put into it. Well, I didn't intend to go this way, but this is the way we're going. They went as three. It was perfected in three. There was three of them. Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They went as three, and they were standing back to back, and they were rotating as they went. They had each other's back. You couldn't get to their back because the guy behind you had the sword. You'd have to go through the guy with the sword to get to the other guy's back. They were never pointing their swords at each other. They were pointing it at the enemy. And they were rotating as they had to go. And every direction that they went was forward. Every direction they went was towards Bethlehem. And they had the same goal. They had the same vision. They had the same purpose. And it was to get a drink for their King. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So it didn't matter who stood in their way. It didn't matter how big the giant. It didn't matter how big the Philistine, whatever it was. They said, get out of my way. Right. Oh, friends, we got all these excuses this morning. But what you need to say this morning is, get out of my way, formal spirits. Get out of my way, discouraging devils. Get out of my way, you nervous spirit. Get out of my way, you sleepy devil. Get out of my way, you religious devils that say that we don't need a personal experience, that we don't need that water ourselves, that we don't need to get to that water and drink of that water. We don't need a fresh experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get out of my way. Get out of my way, you devils that are trying to decide whether I'm going to make it or not. You ain't got nothing to say about it. I don't care what mouth you're speaking through. This ain't between me and you. It's between me and Him. Hallelujah. Whether I'm secure in Christ or not, if I'm sealed in Him, I don't care if it sounds like bragging to you or not. That's my faith. Get out of my way, you devils. get out of my way. That demon that would say, just believe God sent a prophet. And you've got the living water from the well. Well, how come I don't have the living water from the well then? Well, just believe you have it. Like I believe in the tooth fairy, maybe? Or Santa Claus? Something that I've never seen? Come on, friends. Get out of our way, you nervous devils. Amen. Get out of our way, you spirits of depression. Amen. Oh, friends, they're going to hang around. Amen. Don't defend them. Right. Here's what happens. You hit on that, and the people say, oh, he's picking on me. No, I'm picking on a spirit. Amen. I don't care. I don't care who it's tagging along. We're not. You're our brothers. You're our sister. Amen. You're not supposed to be depressed. And you aren't. Amen. The spirit is. And your feeling, friends, if I was defeated and I was on my way to hell, I'd be depressed too. Amen. These demons are defeated. And they're trying to get you to relate with them. Oh, it's not worth it, and I'll never make it, and this, that, and there. That's your testimony. It ain't my testimony. I'm an overcomer. I've been bought with a price. I'm resting. Glory to God. We're going to have church this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Get out of my way, devils. You don't scare me. You don't scare me. Though an host should encamp about me, I shall not fear. You don't scare me. I'm going to have my Pentecost. I'm not worried about how it happens. Sisters, your dress won't go flying up over your head. If it does, it was a wrong spirit. Well, I'm afraid that might happen. You're not seeking a wrong spirit. Those that happens to, they're not looking for the right spirit. They're looking for anything. It rarely ever happens. It never happens when the Lord's involved. It's a trick of the devil. Oh, you're just going to be embarrassed. Friends, I don't care what I got to do. Just as long as it's him. So these are mighty men. These are men that are not going to... Oh, friends, that's what we need today. Here they're tearing down statues of our forefathers. And there's a movement that's moving throughout the land that's trying to erase our history. Trying to erase what we have in common and trying to write a new history. Trying to write a new direction. Yeah. Well, I'll just go ahead and say it. Go ahead and Google if you want to do it. Go ahead and Google Black Lives Matter. Doesn't that sound like a good thing? Black Lives Matter. Every life matters. Downtown, they wanted to put a thin blue line there to support the police. Our mayor said, that's racist. Everything's racist. Go ahead and Google Black Lives Matter and you'll find out what's behind it. Their charter is they're homosexuals and they want to make room for homosexuals, only the black ones though, evidently. Homosexuals and transvestites and all that. They use these words. Go look it up. It's on their site. And their desire is to pull down the traditional family unit to redefine it, which is the backbone of America. Sure. To redefine the family unit to where we're all just a big community. Right. And nobody's really, we're all just one big family. So now the woman that's raising all the children, she's a little bit more free now because everybody's free to kind of raise the kids. And doesn't that sound good? No. It's awful. Right. And that's their agenda. Right. And they're able to write that in public places. And people are challenging that and saying, well, how about I want to write Blue Lives Matter. Oh, no, you can't do that. That's racist. In a public place. You see where we're at? And everybody's backing down. One of the last, I don't know too much about sports, but I've heard this before. The Washington Redskins, I was kind of happy because they withstood this political correctness movement to change the name of the sports team because it might offend somebody. They went and investigated, and the Native Americans said, we don't care. Right. Friends, what if they were called the Whiteskins? Isn't that racist? How dare you use the word white? It's ridiculous. Yeah. So you could say Black Lives Matter, but you can't say Redskins.
Right.
It's not even reasonable or rational, and it's forced.
Sure.
Right? What we need is some brave men to stand up.
Right.
Brave men and brave women and call right, right, and wrong, wrong.
Right.
You say, well, we're not supposed to fight. We're not, friends, we're not picking a fight, but we will stand for truth.
Yeah.
We will not compromise. We're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. We're not racist.
Right.
You know, if America is a racist nation, there's no chance for the rest of the world. This is the most integrated society on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And we know that there'll always be an element of racism. We know that. And we know that there will not be peace and true peace until the Prince of Peace returns.
Amen.
Amen. But this whole thing is designed to shut you up. This whole thing, it's intimidation and it's fear. But you've got to press through that.
Amen.
We've got to say, you know what? I don't care. I'm gonna speak my mind on this. No, it's not okay for you to kick down the statue of George Washington. No, it's not okay for you to tear down Thomas Jefferson or whatever. That's our history. These are our forefathers. Well, they were all white supremacists. Well, they founded this nation. And you're still here. My advice is go somewhere else and start your own country. You're not going to change ours. Friends, as long as we're here, it's not going to get real bad.
Right.
Don't look for some, you know, being chased down in the streets and the Russians coming in and all that. As long as you're here, those things can't happen. But once we're gone, all hell will break loose. He that letteth will now letteth until he be taken out of the way. Then that wicked one be revealed. Satan wants to take full control. Satan is pressuring from every side. Evil is spilling out on every side. He's trying to shut up the voice. He's trying to quiet the voice. Shout it down. Threaten it. Intimidate it. You can be locked up in some states for going to church. But if you go out and riot, they won't put you in jail. And if they do put you in jail, you don't have to pay bail and you can come out and rob a bank right afterwards wearing your mask.
Right.
How much sense is that?
Right.
In Canada right now, they're allowed to come and worship in small groups, but they just passed something where you can't sing in the church. Well, I'm going to sing. Even if I had to wear a mask, I'm going to sing.
Right.
I'm going to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But yet you can go out there and protest without a mask.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't come to a house of worship, but there's not an abortion clinic on the planet that's closed.
Right.
You can go murder your child anytime you want.
Right.
It's insane. No, I'm not afraid to speak out.
Right. Yeah.
This is our country.
Right.
As long as we're here, it's ours.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And we're not going to be intimidated.
Right.
Now, friends, I bring that out as a type. This is our religion. This is our Christ. This is our bridegroom.
Hallelujah.
And denominations are not going to water it down. They're not going to scare me away.
Hallelujah.
Tape-only people are not going to intimidate me.
Amen.
We're going to worship Him.
Amen.
We're going to give the King what He desires. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These were mighty men. And then the sons of these men, no doubt, were now packing this temple of Solomon. Sons of some of these mighty men of valor. Friends, I wasn't here when our messenger was sounding forth. Oh, I was on the scene. I was, you know, 6 years old when he died. I just turned six. But I wasn't with him. But I'm a son of this message.
Amen.
Amen. Even though I wasn't part of it then, I'm part of it now.
Amen.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise
1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 9. I'm going to preach. So David waxed greater and greater. Why? For the Lord of hosts was with him.
Amen.
That's our testimony this morning.
Amen.
It's not just us running off on a rampage. It's not us just getting indignant. It's not about politics. It's the Lord is with us.
Amen.
And the Lord has something to say.
Yes.
He is the final voice in the final age through his bride.
Amen.
The tape is not the final voice in the final age. The bride is.
Amen.
The tabernacle of Solomon. Verse 10. These also are the chief of the mighty. Mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him. They weren't going, it didn't matter that Gold's Gym was closed. That wasn't their source of strength. Their strength was him.
Amen.
Glory. Who strengthened themselves with him. Friends, my strength doesn't come from the church. My strength doesn't come from a denomination. My strength doesn't come from a tape machine. Though I listen to the tapes, my strength comes from the Lord. Who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. So their strength was in supporting his kingdom. That was their strength, Brother Eli, was putting their shoulder behind his kingdom. That was their strength. We might not have strengths in this area of our life or that area of our life. We might fail at this business deal or fail at whatever. But we won't fail in the business of his kingdom. That is our strength. Hallelujah. Psalm 24, verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, Gabor.
Right.
The Lord, mighty in battle.
Yes.
Friends, these were sons that escorted this bride.
Right.
It's sons of God that are part of the bride.
Right.
But their position is to minister to this bride.
Amen.
To watch over her, to protect, not to destroy her, to protect her. We'll go back to our scripture here for a moment. Verse 7, Solomon 3, verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. These aren't hired guns. These aren't mercenaries that'll run off at the first sign of real trouble or if they're not going to get paid. These are men of Israel. They're born of Israel. They came from Israel. It's a type of us in this age. We're part of the bride.
Amen.
Verse 8. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. We're still on a nighttime journey, friends. So these men are, oh, friends, they don't got little squirt bottles hanging across their side and, you know, cleaning supplies. And they're not janitors. They don't got cleaning supplies for the tape machine. Remember that? Those of us that are old enough to remember it. It had a little cotton swab. You had to go in there and rub on the capstan, you know, the little wheel that would advance the tape. And don't stare at me. You take some alcohol, dip that Q-tip in alcohol, and you'd rub the tape head because it would get smudged and it was getting difficult to hear the quality of the recording, right? And then there was a thing called a demagnetizer. Sometimes you had to use that because the tape head would get magnetized. And when it got magnetized, guess what it would do? It would eat your tape.
That's right.
Anybody remember that? Yeah. It would go in, and if you didn't catch it right away, it would just start chewing it up and winding it up and making it into an accordion. And you had a mess on your hands, and you had to go in there and try and pull it out. And then you'd pull it out, and you'd try to straighten it all out and try to wind it back up and get yourself a little piece of tape and cut it as small as you can. And then you'd have to take that where the tape broke. You'd have to kind of take it and cut a real clean edge on it and then lay that thing down and get somebody to, come on, could you hold this for me and tape it? And oh, you don't know what you're missing. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, we aren't given this word to feed it to a tape machine. The tape machine is not what's supposed to eat it. My tape machines used to eat my tapes. I didn't get anything out of it when they did that. We are told to take the living, revealed word and to eat that, not to eat the tape. You know what will happen if you eat a tape? You'll have a long tape worm that'll go all the way through you. And it won't do anything for you. If I ate the tape, I wouldn't say, oh, that's sweet in my mouth. I don't know what I'd say. And then if I swallowed it, I'd just have a mess. It's not the tape that's special. Now, don't misunderstand me. Well, I'm glad that it's recorded. Because if it wasn't, I'd have to take Brother So-and-so's. I mean, even as it is, people are saying, well, Brother Branham said this and Brother Branham said that. And you have to go and check and see if he did or not. I'm glad that it's on the tape. You can't trust your memory even when you're well-meaning. I've remembered things that I was just sure I remembered it in a certain way, and then you find out it wasn't that way. Memories can fail you, right? So I'm glad that it's recorded, but it has to go from that tape. You have to hear it, and then the Lord has to quicken it to you. And now it's not on the tape, it's in you. Hallelujah. You see, you, not the tape machine, you are what is necessary to release that voice that's on the tape so that it's in a living vessel. That's the interpretation of it. God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. How? By manifesting it. How does he do that? Through human flesh. So we don't need tape boys this morning to stand ready to play a tape when this happens in our life or that happens in our life. We face this sickness or this trial, and he's just waiting there to play a tape. That ain't what it's about, friends. You've got him in you. Yes. He's your strength. Yes. Verse 8, they all had swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. These guys mean business. These guys are ready to go to war. They're not politically correct. They're ready to go to war. First Chronicles 12, verse 33. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 men, which could keep rank. Not only were they expert in war, but they could stay in their position. Friends, this is being pointed out for a reason. Which could keep rank. They were not of a double heart. If you're double-minded, you're half in, half out. You have to know what your position is. And then keep rank. No matter what happens around you. When trouble comes into the church, Brother Andy doesn't say, well, you know, maybe I should this and maybe I should that. He knows what his position is. Brother Eli knows what his position is. The Lord moves on his heart. Friends, you needed to hear what was preached Wednesday night if you didn't hear it. Maybe hear it again. Hallelujah. All the trials come in. They don't look around and say, oh, it's COVID and it's this and it's that, or this one's saying this or that voice is that. They go right into the Word and say, no, this is our position. Here's what you need to do. Stand. Don't get out of your position. Recognize that's your sister. That's your brother. Even though your husband and wife, Sarah and Abraham. That's not your enemy sitting next to you. That's not the enemy across The pastor isn't your enemy. It's not time. Oh, there's trouble. Now it's time to get out of our ranks. Now it's time to, you know, oh, the church must be all messed up. You stay in your rank. You stay in your position. Glory to God. Friends, those things are just designed to try to get you out of your rank. To try to get you out of your position. But we're on to them. We're on to the devil. We've seen this movie before, Brother St. Augustine. We've seen it. I'm proud to stand with you. Hallelujah. Thick or thin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil wants you to break rank, but guess what? We're not doing it. No, we're not backing down. I know that maybe this sounds like it's offensive to you, that God's idea of marriage is a man and a woman. I'm going to say it. Oh, you're a hater. I don't hate anybody except the devil. And the feeling's mutual. But I'm going to say it because that's God's thought concerning that. And if nobody says it, how's somebody going to get free? Glory to God. So you have to know your position to keep rank. And we all have a position. We all have a place in the body. And you have to keep that position under fire. That's why fire comes. None of us likes it. None of us likes the trials. None of us likes things that come through the church. But they come through the church to see if you're going to stand in your position. The devil wants you to break rank. There are those that just can't keep rank, no matter where they're at. Trouble comes, and you find they got double hearts. The pastor was the best thing until he wasn't. Now, me just saying that is going to upset somebody. And if you're getting upset over it, you're the one with the problem, not because I said it. Because it isn't bothering the person right next to you. The Lord is showing you, you need to deal with that. You don't control what I preach. So don't come to me afterwards, oh, my feelings got hurt. I don't care. I'm going to use that sword. My boss told me what to preach. I'm going to do what my boss told me to do. And then I'm going to pray for you to get over yourself. That's what overcoming is. I'm not going to miss the rapture over a feeling. And they didn't break rank. Whew. Wow. Think about it, friends. Now, there are legitimate times for leaving a church. We get that. If the pastor leaves the word and won't be restored, won't be reconciled, leave the pastor. If the church won't stay with the word, leave the church. But do what you're supposed to do first. And then when you do leave, leave peaceably. If the Lord tells you to move for a job and there's a church for you where he's going to have you and a life event, then leave peaceably, lovingly. Amen. Friends, we have a living example of how to do this. Brother Branham left his first church and he did it the right way. But most of the time, when people leave a church, it's because trouble comes and then they break ranks. Now, let me just say this before I go any further. All of us have left something. Right? So if you think you're being picked on, all of us have left something. But so much of the time, people will claim that God is leading them. But if God is leading them, then who's leading the ranks that they're leaving? Oh, friends, when somebody gets real sweet with you and they want to just tell you everything that's wrong with the pastor, I know these things happen. You say you got a complex. No, I'm just calling out something that you won't admit. It happens. Right? And then they get up next to you and they caramelize you and cook you to death and friend you this way and friend you that way and fellowship you this way and fellowship you that way and then tell you that your pastor's wrong and they're leaving because he's got the wrong leadership. What are they saying about you? They're saying you're following the wrong leadership. that 49,999 of you are wrong, and that one is right. Look, friends, one of the reasons why things are hard right now is because they've been too easy. We need pressure. We need something to force. We're finding out whether... I can't believe how many people are denying that there's even a virus. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about in our own ranks. There's even people that get this, end up in the hospital, and then come out and say, well, you know, it's not very many people that get it, and it's just this, that, and the other, and it's a conspiracy. You know, this is all trained. Here's one that's going around. This is all trained because it's going to push to the point where you can't buy or sell. And you'll end up taking the mark. Listen, dummy. The mark of the beast is already happening. To reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to take the mark of the beast. That's a quote. And Brother Branham even says it that way. He said, you're looking for something to come in the future, and it's already happening now. Oh, but we got to worry about this, government this, and this and that. Get that Tommy rod out of your head. What's that got to do with you? You got a message. Listen, we're on our way to the bridegroom. And we're resting. And we've got trained men that are surrounding us, that know the way, and that know Him. This is God's provided way. And we are going to meet Him. We've already united with Him. Now, if I've united with Him, you've united with Him, you've united with Him, we'll be saying the same thing. Your enemy's not out there. Glory to God. That devil can be so slick. He turns somebody and then he gets them out of their position. They leave. But before they leave, they tell others that they're leaving because they don't believe the Lord's leading the army that they're part of. And people side with them. They side with their feelings. And it's all feelings. And they don't even try and work it out. One family left over communion. They didn't like the way we did communion because that's not how they did it over at the church that they came out of. That they left the same way. The guy's an idiot. That's what they said about their pastor. So then they leave here. So we try and reconcile. You don't even know these things a lot of times. You think, oh, this person left. We do everything that we know to do. No, it can't be reconciled. And yet it's not even scriptural. It's somebody's idea of something. And then behind the scenes, they try to poison everybody else. Look, if you're miserable, don't go away mad. Just go away. Look, I get it. If this isn't working for you, go somewhere where it is working for you. But we're united. We're a body. We're together. There's three of us. And a three stranded cord is not easily broken. Amen. And we'll get the king a drink. Come what may. No matter what comes our way. We know what our place is. We know what our position is. We know where we're going. We know where we came from. We know who the enemy is. Glory to God. This is the time when the sword's being put into action. It's been hanging over the mantle of the fireplace too long, being admired by people. It's time to put it into action. It's when trouble comes. He raises up the standard. The standard is His word, friends, always. When you go through things as a family, you don't break ranks. You work it out. Come on, friends. In a marriage, children. At work, you don't break ranks when deadlines approach. You work overtime. You suck it up. You do what you got to do. There's probably not a person here this morning that can say, you know what, I love everything about my job. And it's always fun. And there's never anything, I never have any problems. You know, there's nobody at work that I don't want to see every day. There are people that not only do you have to see every day, but you got to get along with them.
Right.
And yet you know that they're going to rub you the other direction.
Sure.
But you don't break ranks because you got your feelings hurt or whatever.
Sure.
So we may not know why the army is going in a certain direction at certain times. But we know that we have a place and we need to stand in that place.
Amen.
The problem was, in the days of this story that we're reading about, they couldn't decide whether they were going to follow Saul or they were going to follow David. Verse 35. 1 Chronicles 12, 35. And of the Danites, expert in war, 28,600. That's impressive, isn't it? But it doesn't say they didn't break rank. And they did. They had trouble keeping rank. We're going to go through trials. And you know, and sometimes all of us get out of rank at some point in time. You don't leave, you get out of rank. But we still fight. And we're still part of the army. You get out of step. And you got to hear, stay in line. Verse 36. And of Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, 40,000. So these guys are expert in war, 40,000. But it doesn't say that they didn't break rank. And they did. Why little Bethlehem? Those Gentile warriors, many of them, notice, they come from everywhere. They come from the east and west. They come from the land afar. Wow, this is just speaking of us this morning, friends. We come from everywhere. But they knowed that fugitive was anointed. Friends, this word that we're preaching this morning is anointed. And this word is a fugitive in America. A fugitive in the land. They knew David was rejected by his own people. But they knowed the anointing was upon him.
Right.
Friends, the Lord Jesus was rejected by his own people. But he loved us. And we know the anointing is upon him.
Amen.
Again, he says, look at these men. They pulled their swords. What was it? His desire was a drink of cool water. David, what a type of today, he says. Our David, Christ, we know that he's called a holy roller.
Right.
The way you worship. Friends, they're not making fun of you, they're making fun of him.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's cast off to one side, a fanatic in everything, rejected by the churches. They've got their creeds and things drawn up in this Christmas like they did at the first one. We know that. But we know that his word, this word, ever remains true. And it's got to be fulfilled. The desire of Christ is for men, not man, men, warriors, to stand. Amen. That's for all of us, friends. Again, he says, oh, come. Oh, I just get stirred up every time I hear these things. It's personal. It's speaking to me. I hope it's speaking to you this morning. Oh, come. Stand with me. Think about it, friends. That prophet stood all alone. Right? For a season. But he wasn't standing alone. Because there were those that were raised up as he said they would, that would stand right where he did.
Right, man.
Come and stand with me by my side. I'm standing in a terrible place. I challenge today, he says, These tapes go all over the world. I challenge some men, some warrior who loves Jesus Christ, that knows that these things has got to be fulfilled today. We know it, Brother Andy. We know it, Brother Eli. Things have to be fulfilled. Regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of how this one's doing and that one's doing. Regardless of what politics is doing, what direction our nation's going. There's word that has to be fulfilled. It's thus saith the Lord. It cannot fail. Has to be fulfilled. Brother Eli, there has to be a body like you preached on Wednesday night. Has to be. And it's not a matter of us getting together for a barbecue. Oh, if we just had more barbecues, we'd get along. We had barbecues and you didn't come. So it's just certain barbecues you want to come to. But that's never going to bring the unity. Ever. Never. Listen, friends, if that's what you're looking for, what is it? It's Pantano Road. Yeah, there's an Elks Lodge. Pantano and 22nd. It's not too far from the post office. There's a fine Elks Lodge. You can get together, have a beer. You can play bingo. You can tell war stories. You can talk about your hippie past. Right? And you can high-five one another, make scholarships for the kids so that you feel like you're doing something worthy. Right? And you can say, isn't this a swell bunch? Yeah, but what you're doing doesn't matter. So of course you can get along. Getting together isn't hard. The whole world is uniting. Getting together around the word, now that's a different story. But that's the only reason I'm here. That's the only reason I've come. As was brought up Wednesday night, that's why I'm here. I would love it if you thought good thoughts about me, but whether you do or not, I'm here for the word's sake. And if you're here for the word's sake, we are going to get along. Without one thinking that the other is calling the other one a racist. And you don't have to compromise to get along with me. And vice versa. We just stay with the word. Glory. These things has got to be fulfilled today, brethren. Come stand by my side. I feel like that's the Lord calling us this morning. Come stand by my side. And pull the word of God. Not pull out a tape. Pull the word of God. Forget those dried cisterns and stagnated denominations that you're living in. Pull the fresh word of God. The fresh word of God. Let's give Jesus a good drink of fresh Pentecostal water. Back to the word. It's prophesied that we would do so in Malachi, the 4th chapter. Return the faith of the children back to the fathers again. Who would stand this morning? Oh, glory to God. Friends, I know that there's some warriors here this morning. There's several warriors. You might have been a little misdirected at one time or another, but there's a warrior in you. Just as there was a warrior down in Gideon all that time, there was something laying there. Maybe you ran from schoolyard fights. Maybe you didn't like trouble, but there's a warrior down on the inside. And that warrior that's down on the inside is not going to compromise on this word. That warrior that's down on the inside is not going to apologize for what you believe. That warrior that's down on the inside is not going to hold back praise in our King. That warrior that's down on the inside is not going to try to get along with the world, but is going to get along with the Word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're not going to stand and have hirelings tell us what to do. We're not going to stand and have some headquarters tell us what to do. Well, if you don't play a tape on Sunday morning, you're a Janice and a Jambres. I'm sorry, you don't get to define who I am. You don't get to tell me. You weren't there when he called me. In fact, you weren't even doing what you're doing now when he called me. You weren't there on July 3rd of 1989. when we got united. Hallelujah. We're not going to have these cliques and tantrums and streams and tangent doctrines. In our own ranks, tell us what to do. Mm-mm. You can call us Dathan and Korah all you want. But if you're going to do that, at least apply it properly. Dathan and Korah said, Moses, you aren't the only one that can do this. They got out of rank and they tried to take the place of Moses. I'm not trying to take Brother Branham's place. I'm trying to take the place that I've been called to take under my messenger, that my messenger told me to take, that Paul told me to take, that the Holy Spirit is telling me to take. And if he can't direct me, friends, I'm sorry if you went to a church for many, many years where you had a businessman in the pulpit that got so carnal that everybody had to come and line up at the door and tell him you did this wrong, you said that wrong, and he accepted it and he let you get away with that nonsense. That's not a God-called pastor. That's not what God sent to lead the church. Amen.
Amen.
Think about it for a moment. If you have to tell the preacher what to preach, why are you here?
Right.
Because it sounds like you're the preacher.
Right.
Sounds like the Holy Spirit's telling you what to preach. Right? What would be the point?
Yes.
Squirm.
Yes.
Come on, friends.
Yes.
This is how we get together. We sweep out the trash. Get all the things that don't matter, that gets between us, all the little funny feelings, all the ideas of the enemy that get amongst us, right? And we realize, you know what, we've all got a position, we've all got a place, and we're going to stand in our place. These guys got out of rank and tried to take Moses' place. But our messenger told us to preach what he brought. So how could I be out of my place? How could I be a Dathan and Korah if I'm doing what he told me to do? Not just one place. I'll prove it to you here in just a minute. You know I will. Brother Branham didn't say, if you preach what I preach, you're trying to take my place. No, we aren't taking his place. We're taking our place. He's not here. He can't break it down for you. Take it between the lines. He said there would be young men raised up that would do this. Listen to this. Oh, you Bethlehem dwellers. Hallelujah. I call for men, warriors, who's not afraid. I don't care if there's 800 standing on one side and 10,000 on the other. I want warriors who will come with me and cut a hole through this line of unbelieving Philistines. The World Council of Churches is garrisoned around the Word of God, trying to make it creeds and feed the people. There's a well. There's a fountain open in the house of David, Bethlehem, for sin and uncleanness. Brother, sin is unbelief in his word.
Amen.
Who warrior that can see the millennium coming? What warrior can see this great Holy Spirit come in the form of Jesus Christ, the literal body of Christ, to take over again? Stand with me, he says. Stand with me. Stand by me. Let's cut a hole through this denominational creed. Let's get in there. He's crying for a good, fresh drink of Pentecostal water. The original Pentecost, not some newfangled new idea. The original. Not a bunch of carrying on and screaming and hollering. Nothing wrong with that, but they had that without the original. He says, I mean a genuine Holy Spirit baptism that produces the life of Jesus Jesus Christ back into the person. Friends, that'll solve marriage problems. That'll solve work problems. That'll solve school problems. And yes, it'll solve church problems. Just get that very same one back in the body, back in the center of your being. You'll find out that we got more in common than the whole world. You realize, you know, I worked at Raytheon here in Tucson for 13 years. And I spent more time with these people every day than I did my own family. And yet I still don't really know much about them. I know the work face. I know certain of the, you know, we're all in certain behavior and whatever, and guarded and holding some things back. I don't even know if we had things in common or not. I don't even know if we would have liked each other off of the job site. I just know that we were working together for a certain purpose or whatever. And guess what? I've been gone for 11 years now. Hard to believe it, but 11 years now. And I can't even remember names. Right? Why? Because we didn't really have... We had one thing in common. It was what we were doing at work. But as far as being united, as far as going the same direction... We were all different religions and political parties and backgrounds, right? And we might not have been able to have two things to say to each other off the job site, right? But here, we have the same Father. Amen. We have the same genetics.
Amen.
We're believing the same word. We're uniting with the same bridegroom.
Hallelujah.
We got everything in common. Again, he says, oh, men of God, men of God, where's that sword? Our Lord desires a fresh drink. I don't care if it's life or death. Let's cut through this thing. It's so hard standing by yourself. I'm calling for men to stand by me. Stand with the word. What that word says, just do it just the way the word said. I'm standing with you, Brother Branham. I'm standing with you. I'm standing. I'm under my messenger. I'm staying with that word.
Amen.
I haven't gone past you. I'm staying under you. I don't care what anything else says. Stay it that way. For that's the only thing that will cut. Let's get to Bethlehem, the true water of God. And you can see what they're doing. They're trying to keep people from that.
Right.
Friends, this is the devil. This is his goal. Trying to keep people from that. Why? Because we'll be united if we all get to that same water. They're trying to keep people from that. It's the cure. They're looking for a COVID cure. This is the cure. This will cure anything. They're garrisoning. Oh, think about it this morning, friends. They're garrisoning more and more around that well. To be sure that nobody will drink from it. Yeah, starts off by calling it, you know, the P word, Pentecostal. We're beyond that. That's such a dirty thing. God's ashamed that that ever happened. He's repenting of the thing that he took 2,000 years to restore us back to, and now he's repenting of it. He's embarrassed by it. No, you're the one that's embarrassed, Mr. Intellectual.
Yeah.
Mr. Formal, dead, twice plucked up by the roots, denominational Christian. No life. You don't even know him. You're trying to tell us what he thinks and how he feels. You don't even know him. If you meet him, we'll be in agreement. Hallelujah. We'll be saying the same thing. Glory to God. It's time to stand. Trying to keep you from that. What's the devil trying to keep you from? Eternal life. Pentecost. fresh drink, the life, the living waters. They're garrisoning more and more around that well to be sure that nobody will drink from it. Oh, warriors, pull that sword. Let's stand for everything that sword stands for. How many will stand for everything that sword stands for? Let's get to that well. I didn't mean to leave you out, Brother Manuel. You're part of it. Well, where there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Amen. Bethlehem dwellers, God bless you. Let's go through. Christ wants a real church. Amen. He wants a bride. Let's cut our ways through. Let's get out of here. Let's get these creeds away that the real drinkers might come back and get a drink of real, cool, Pentecostal water that once flowed from this great well. It's still flowing. And the church says, it's still flowing. Oh, well, that was before the book came up. Let's see. December 14th, 1963. Pretty sure the book was open. Them great mighty warriors, without fear, they moved their way through there because it was his desire. It was his desire to have a drink from that well. Lord God, maybe we don't feel that, just that tug. But look, it's your desire that these things be done. As you said to John, thus it is behooving us or becoming that we fulfill all righteousness. It's becoming to us as ministers, plural, today, to see that this word is played, preached. I'm not supposed to play a tape in the pulpit. I'm supposed to preach. To see that it's done. It's becoming us. A man of these hour that we're living in. Great men in the earth today. 1963. Great men in the earth today. Oh God. They're out there. I was a toddler. I was 3 years old. On my way to my fourth birthday. I was probably putting on a cape like Grayson. Pretending like I was a warrior. Not having a clue of what I was going to have to fight. Tarantulas are coming out now. They come out at monsoon season. You know, I know these things because my son's interested in these things. And they're in the trapdoor. Spider wouldn't be the right word because they're not actually a spider. They got 8 legs instead of 7 or 7 instead of 8 or whatever. See, I'm an expert, right? All I know is I see them and I want to get away from them, right? So I was working out in the backyard, moving some pavers and different things because we're arranging things, trying to fix things up nice for the grandkids and for us as well to have a little fellowship outside. And I pull up this one big flat stone, and under it is a little baby tarantula. And then a great big mama was down there as well. And Mike just happened to be over at the house picking up a few more things, and so he came out and picking them up, playing around with them. And Grayson at first didn't want to get near it. And then he decided, okay, let me get a glove. And he put the glove on. And my kid, you know, was very gentle with him and told him, you know, you need to be gentle. Don't squish it. And put the little baby in his hand and he held it. And Callan's like, ah! And I'm just watching. We go in the house, and, you know, my wife's letting it crawl around on her. Mike's got it, you know, coming around his head and down his neck and whatever. We saw a couple, at least another one, I think. And Grayson gets to the point where, yeah, I think I do want to hold it. And so he puts his hands out, and Micaiah releases it, and it crawls on his hand. And then Micaiah grabs it from the side, and I'm thinking, wow. And then he says to Callan, he says, do you want to? No! He goes running, runs right into Grandma, and then goes around her, and he's standing over there in the kitchen about 20 feet away. He says, you sure? No. That's me. So when he's talking about brave men and not afraid to take that sword, he's not talking about spiders. If I had to hold one, I would. But I don't have to. And I honestly, Sister Baker, I have no desire. You can play with them all you want. I have nothing to prove to anybody. You can be scared. My aunt used to chase me around with Daddy Longleg. Maybe I'll get over that someday. The tiniest little legs in this little tiny body. How could that hurt you? Turns out that's one of the most venomous spiders. Did you know that? But its mouth is just so small, it can't really get a chunk out of you. But the venom is very, it's very, this is what happens when Dr. Doolittle lives with you. You learn these things. Sister Baker broke her ankle, I think. I don't remember if it was that occasion or whatever. It was a rare thing that she stayed home from church. And it was a Sunday night. And I came home after church, got undressed, pulled back the covers. I get in the bed. And I feel something, feels like it's crawling on my leg. You know, you can imagine those things, right? And so you're kind of almost embarrassed to look because you're pretty sure that you're just imagining it, right? Well, I better investigate. I pull it back. There's a tarantula in the bed. And it was crawling on me. I broke the Olympic record for the high jump. And I'm thinking, she's been in bed with it all this time. And then you don't even want to get back in bed. Yet the Lord says, you're a mighty man of valor. It's becoming to us as ministers today to see that this word is preached, to see that it's done. We don't want it to just be preached. We want to see it lived out. That's our goal. We want to see it in human lives. It's becoming to us as a man of these hour that we're living in. Great men in the earth today. Oh God, they're out there. Let them see it and grab the sword. No matter what the opposition, if God be for you, who can be against you? We don't care jeopardizing our social living. We don't care jeopardizing this or that or the other. We want to get to that water of life. We want to get the water of life back. God cannot send a revival. I'll pull over here in just a moment. God cannot send a revival until he's got man in shape to take it. He didn't say tape machine. He said man. We cannot have a revival until we get men. I love this. Plural. M-E-N. Until we get men, God called men. Well, Brother Baker, I think we ought to get together and vote on the ministers. You don't get to do that. God calls you. Well, I think so-and-so, you know, so-and-so gets up and prays such good prayers, I think he'd make a good preacher. You mean the guy that won't work, that sends his wife out to do it? Prays all these wonderful prayers? Come on, friends. I'm glad that man don't pick God's ministers. God does. Until we get men, God called men. God trained men. that's not trained up in the schools of theology and of education, but rugged men of faith that God has brought up in the school of his rugged training. Men who are not afraid to face the fire. Men who has come in the presence of God and knows his power. And knows his omnipotence. And knows his healing power. And some men that's trained to know the living God. It's all right to train them by the word, but the letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. And before we can have this revival, how many believes that we've got a greater, we're in a revival right now. We are. We're in a revival. But there's yet something a little greater yet to come. Before we can have this revival, God has to call out and train men. God does. God has to call out. We never heard of you. That's how it's supposed to be. God calls you out of nowhere. God has to call out and train men. God trained men to carry this message. Notice, it doesn't say God trained tape machines. I don't know how you train a tape machine to do that anyway. Or God called tape boys. That don't even sound good, does it? We know what Brother Branham was referring to when he used certain terminology. We know that it was important for men to make sure these things got recorded. And we're thankful for that. But those guys didn't then become my pastor. God has to call out and train men. God trained men to carry this message. And they don't care what the opposition is. They're willing to go to the fiery furnace in defeat or to the lion's den or wherever it may be. They're ready to go. I forgot to mention. So Tim Hayton, so he's the Ben and Jen DeRossett's pastor now, right? I think the girls, they have COVID now. So I want to remember them in prayer too. Because they've been in the presence of God and they know that he is. I wouldn't want somebody to lead me in the word that doesn't know him. Because they've been in the presence of God and they know that he is. You were at church on Wednesday night, weren't you? Yeah. I heard your amen. This isn't a criticism to the rest of your friends, but it's a challenge. You know, my wife has to face embarrassment. She faces embarrassment because she knows she's louder than other people sometimes. But she knows she's not amening her husband. And she wasn't amening Brother Eli. She was amening the word. And you'll look like an idiot sometimes. Oh, is that any way for a pastor's wife to act? Yeah, it is, isn't it, Sister Julie? Yeah, you're pretty good at it too. She's so quiet and, very watchful and listens. But she'll amen the word. And her amens are in the right place. It's not a bird going, amen, amen. If we just play a recording of that, we just have some bird cages. And hallelujah. Glory to God. Friends, this is ours. Brother Oscar, this is our day. Brother Jonathan, this is our message. Brother Fernando, this is our time. Let's leave behind everything else. Look forward. No matter what happened to us, we're rugged. We're on the scene. We're ready to face the enemy. We're in position. We know what our place is. This is our time. This is our message. No other age can do this but our age. our time, our message. And no, Brother Branham's not here to fulfill this. He's fulfilled his part. Now it's time for us to do our part. Come what may. Glory to God. It's a privilege to stand with you, friends. They're willing to go through the fiery furnace and defeat, or the lion's den, or whatever it may be that they're ready to go, because they've been in the presence of God and they know that He is. Whether it's to victory or defeat, they still stand the same. Friends, I've stood and I've prayed. I've prayed with people, and I know that nothing took place. And I didn't say, well, I guess I won't pray again. Or people will leave and say, well, something wrong with the pastor because he prayed and nothing happened. And yet I might know whatever the issue is or whatever the problem is. Or I might know that it's down the road and you just got to hold on. Whatever it might be. But the point is, I don't say, okay, well, that didn't work out, so I'll quit doing it. You do it again and again and again. God backs up His word. He says that's the kind of training God does to man. And it's very strange to think that God would do that, that God trains His men like that. But He does. And as for myself tonight, He says, I believe that right now, God is training such men to meet the front line. Men who are going through end times, shook from their feet. Sometimes it looks like the whole thing is failing. But yet in the midst of it all, they know that living God. And they keep their face forward and they keep moving on. But when God gets ready to do something in the supernatural realms, He usually gets a man that He can put His trust in. And He anoints him. And He sends him out. And he's fearless at that job. That's the kind of men we need today. Not polished scholars, but men who know God in the power of His resurrection. He's the same today, friends. And we know it. Courage, He says. God don't want cowards. Now, friends, it's okay to be afraid of spiders. That's not the courage that He's talking about. He's talking about the courage to stand on His word. He can't use you if you're afraid to take His word and believe Him. He wants gallant men. Won't pay no attention to nothing but what the Lord says. That's the kind that He has to move with. Regardless of what the church says, or what the pastor says, or what the church stands for, He stands for God and righteousness and His word. That's the man that God will send these days for His revival, that His people are complaining for, missing church for. How's it going to happen? I just showed you what your part is. Somebody has to be bold with the word. Somebody has to be trained with the word. Somebody has to stand with the word. Somebody has to use that sword. But somebody has to be praying for it. Somebody has to have a desire. And you do, of course. Okay, a couple more and we'll stop. This is from the Evening Messenger. He says, therefore, when God sent forth His prophets, His messengers of the Testament, He spoke to one man, and that man had to bring the message. Others went from Him.
Yes.
There's a quote. Why aren't they playing this tape? Because the guy that's so anointed to pick the tape out won't play it. Why? Because it'll contradict the wrong direction that he's taking in the message. Just call it like it is. This is a little atomic bomb that was waiting to be exploded. Therefore, when God sent forth His prophets, His messengers of the Testament, He spoke to one man. And that man had to bring that message. Others went from Him, everywhere, bringing the same message. But there had to be one headquarters. God has always had it. I'm thankful that He's got it tonight. That's the Holy Ghost. Of course, we all know, not some group, but the Holy Spirit is God's headquarters. That's God's messenger of the hour. We're resting on that. Now, I want to say that I believe in leadership, but it's not the leadership of men I believe in. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost coming through the Word. I believe also that God has set men in the church, men who are gifted by the Spirit, and they will keep the church in order. I believe that. I believe also that the church is ruled over by men that God sends to take charge. But that rule is by the Word, so that it is not men really ruling, but it's the Spirit of God. For the Word and the Spirit are one. Then he quotes Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, or how they conduct themselves, or their life. That word rule, it means to be governor, to be a leader, to command, to have authority over, prince or regal power, chief, overseers, or leaders of the church. But it's by the Word. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Smyrnian church age. So two more. In every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That's why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then, from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others. I wonder how they got by without a tape player back in Luther's day. Through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Now, it doesn't mean to say it like a tape or say it like a parrot, but don't change what he said. Amen. He says, remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37, if a man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here, they take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice. For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. Not play what has been given them to the churches. Say. Again, Pergamian church age. God has never placed his church in the hands. Would you stand? God has never placed his church in the hands of an elected leadership which moves with political mindedness. He's placed his church in the care of God-ordained, Spirit-filled, Word-living men who lead the people through feeding them tapes, feeding them the Word. Now, friends, if anybody's listening in, you're hearing this for the first time, whatever, we believe in what's on those tapes. And we listen to them. And then we preach by inspiration what we get as it's pointing us to the Word. So we're not in any way, shape, or form denigrating that or trying to take away from it. But it does not replace a live ministry. Friends, our King is desiring a fresh drink this morning. Who will bring him a fresh drink of Pentecostal waters? Who will stand for an old-fashioned meeting? Who will say, you know what? I don't care. If I got to get out of order long enough to get saved, I want to get out of order. God, I just want to love you. I just want to worship you. I just want to praise you. I want my life to test. I want to be on fire. I want to be a testimony. Lord, I can't think of a better time to be a testimony than today. When the world is falling apart, when there's fear on every side, when there's trembling on every side, when people are getting out of order and out of step. Lord, show this army. Show this army of those that are standing together in rank. And the king is in the camp. Who will bring him a fresh drink of water? Who will push through symptoms? Push through feelings. Push through peer pressures. Hurt feelings. To get him a drink. The critics this morning, friends, they're garrisoned about the well. The critics are demons. But demons need people to work through just as the Holy Spirit does. And we can get anointed of a wrong spirit. And then get right. But that's not what we're speaking about here this morning. We're not speaking about you. We're speaking about spirits that want to keep you from that living water. Whoever it might be, whatever it might be. We have to push through that. We have to recognize that where the best is at, we're going to have to pay the greatest price. The most fighting will be right where that well is at. Friends, it's time to pull our swords. It's time as warriors, and each one of us is called into this battle. You've been given the word, the sword. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You've eaten this book. You've partaken of it. Now you've got to prophesy again, which is to say what you just ate by inspiration. Now it's time to declare this to be the truth. Now it's time to say, you know what? The devil might tell me that Wednesdays are a drag and I deserve a break, or Wednesdays ain't never going to amount to anything or whatever. But that's a lie. I'm going to press and I'm going to get that drink. I'm going to get what I'm supposed to get. And it's going to carry me through the rest of the week. I'm going to support the preacher. I'm going to amen when I don't feel like it. I'm going to come when I'm tired. I'm going to come when I'm weak. I'm going to come when I got a headache. Friends, what difference does it make if your head hurts at home or if your head hurts at church? I don't get that. I really don't. Well, I'm leaving because I got this ache. Well, you can't hear the word while you're aching. Now, I didn't say you got the flu, okay? Or COVID, whatever. But the things that people miss church over. And we're not picking on you. I understand the enemy's trying everything he can to keep you from that well. But here's where the well is. We've been promised where two or more are gathered. Here's where the living waters are coming forth. Here's where we're taking a drink. And we need your help. We need your help. Us ministers, we need your help. We know that there could be a greater outpouring than what we have. But there has to be. It has to be on your side. We all have to be in this together, right? We have to be ready to do whatever we got to do. The critics are gathered around. Demons are pressing on every side. It's time to pull the sword. It's time to use the sword for what it stands for. It's time to take. Friends, if you need healing this morning, it's time to take your healing. If you need deliverance this morning, there's deliverance. If you need the Holy Ghost this morning, the Holy Ghost is here. Amen. If you need a refilling, the Holy Spirit is here. If you need encouragement, He's here. If you need direction, He's here. Everything that we have need of, He's here to meet our needs. Who will pull their sword this morning? Who will stand? Amen. If that's you, let's just bow our heads this morning. Father, as we didn't mean to carry on a little long this morning, Lord, but Father, you just pulled me way off my notes, onto your notes. And I know better, Lord, than to try to pull back and try to follow something else. But I know to let go and let you have your way. Lord, we know that if you're doing this, that there's a purpose for it. We know, Lord, that it's for your children, it's for your people. Lord, I so thank you for bringing us together as a body. I so thank you for my precious brothers and sisters. I so thank you, Lord. They are my family. They're not just my family here, but they're my family throughout eternity. Lord, I believe that we were connected before the foundation of the world in you, united with you. And now we're united together once again by the word. Lord, you are a God of variety. You're not pointing out our differences, but yet you're not trying to make us all the same in the sense that each one of us is expressing different attributes of you, perhaps, by the same Spirit. But Lord, together we make a body that's one, a body that's going the same direction, a body that's ruled by one Spirit, a body that's been baptized by that Spirit, washed by the blood, a body that's been blood bought, that's been redeemed. The price has been paid. The body, Lord, that you're coming back for one day. And Lord, this is a portion of the finishing stones here this morning. Lord, whether in the service this morning, whether they're streaming this morning, whether they'll be listening in at a later time, this is a portion of your body. And Lord, we know that body that's spanning the earth this morning, kingdoms, tongues, and nations, it's the smallest part of the body of Christ. And yet, Lord, look at what you're doing with that little body in Satan's Eden. There's a people that will not bow their knee. There's a people, Lord, that come what may, though they might have to go through the fiery furnace, they'll not bow their knee. But they'll stand bravely and boldly, declaring your word to be the truth. They'll not water it down. They'll not get chased off of their rock that they're standing on. They'll not be intimidated. Lord, we were just discussing here the other evening how these words that are used so much in this hour, calling us bigoted, calling us racist. Lord, it's the enemy that's using terms like that, because the enemy is racist. The enemy is all these things. And the enemy doesn't care if you call the enemy that. It doesn't bother the enemy at all. But the enemy knows that it bothers those that aren't that. Oh, how we hate to be accused of those things. How we hate to... But Lord, that those things are not true. That's not who you are. That's not what you are. We are a portion of you. We're united with you. We're just the opposite. We're a part of your body. Lord, we don't prefer one over another. And we know that you're not a respecter of persons either. You're a respecter of your word. And Lord, we esteem your word above all things. We esteem you above all things. And Lord, we put the needs of others before our own needs. How could that be something that's the harsh language that the enemy's using right now? It's not people. The enemy's working through people in this hour. The enemy's, his voice is sounding forth in Satan's Eden on every every front, trying to shut down God's people, trying to shut down that voice that's speaking the truth in love in this hour. But Lord, that voice will not be stopped. It will sound forth. And there is a people that are fulfilling this word in this hour, that are the fulfillment, and it's your Spirit working through them and in them that's bringing this to pass. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move across the building this morning. Father, I pray that each one would be comforted, encouraged. Father, you know that we desire your word above everything. We desire your presence in our life. One brief moment in your presence, it changes everything. Our desire is you, Lord. Father, we just ask that you'd have your way. Lord, we just want to worship you here for a few moments. Just want to tell you how much we love you, how thankful we are, Lord. That, Lord, especially when I look around, what a better time, Lord, than a time of confusion, a time of fear, and a time of dread. What greater time could there be to prove what's right, to prove what's real, to vindicate your presence amongst us, Lord, to show that what we have is not just in the good times, it's all just theory to the world. But Lord, in times like these, Father, your word is proven in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd move upon each and every heart. I pray, Lord, that every one of us would go fight our way through whatever we got to do, elbow our way, press through whatever might stand in our way to gift you a cool drink of that Pentecostal water. Won't you grant it this morning, Lord? Father, we love you. Father, whether they're in their homes or in the building, Lord, we just surrender to you. Just want to praise you. Just want to tell you how much we love you. Father, grant these things this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness.